This is the Bill Kelly Show, 900 CHML. You're watching on Cable 14. How many times have we had this discussion? Ah, kids, you know, it's not like it wasn't weird. Come on, we used to get dirty. Used to get banged around a lot. It's good for them. What was that movie? Yeah, Throw a Little Dirt on It. Remember that one? You know, the girl's trying to dress up as a boy? Anyway, on and on it goes. We're far too protective of kids. That's what an awful lot of people seem to think in our society. And there is a new book out that offers suggestions for anxious parents who typically hover on the edge of the playground with the first aid kit. Don't go there. Don't walk. They stand up. Get away from that. Don't climb on the, you know, you've seen them, right? I mean, they're not sitting on the bench by the edge of the playground. They're standing there coaching the kids on what to touch and what not to touch. The book is called 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Kids Do. The author is Gaver Tully, and it's going to be a fascinating discussion. Gaver Tully joins us on the Bill Kelly Show on CHML. Gaver, thanks for the time today.
Hey, it's a great pleasure to be here.
This is one of these things that just kind of catches your eye. I was fascinated by the title. I started reading a little bit about the content on this. Give me a sense, Gaver, about the genesis. Where'd the idea for writing this book come from?
Well, you know, it really came from that growing sense that kids just weren't having the kind of childhood that I had grown up having, that they were being prevented from climbing around on stuff, from throwing rocks, from, you know, playing with fire. And these are, felt like, and the research shows, kind of important things to do when you're a kid.
Is this the is this the Huck Finn syndrome?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it really comes from kids or parents actually getting convinced by things like media coverage and by liability laws that these things that are actually quite safe are too dangerous for kids to do anymore.
Where's that coming from?
Well, you know, part of it is we hear about tragedy as soon as it happens, and we get this false impression that the world is filled with children in peril, when in reality, it's the safest time in the history of civilization to be a child. And I think the other part is that when they take a swing set out of a playground saying that, you know, the school can't leave it there because of liability reasons, even though we understand that it's, you know, a legal issue, we start to build up this impression that maybe there's something wrong with swing sets, when in reality, they're a perfectly safe piece of playground equipment.
The irony there is that these things are an ever-changing item, too. I know in dealing with the municipal government here, that the swing set that you installed 2 years ago no longer passes the safety standards and it has to be replaced. In other words, they don't mind leaving it there, but they can't replace it with one similar to that because they say we'd be liable again. Is this all born from the fact that we're becoming maybe just a little bit too litigious in this society?
Well, coming from what's regarded as the most litigious state in the world, I would say yes. I mean, what we're seeing here is the legal system was designed to protect our freedoms, and what we're finding is that it's actually preventing us from engaging with the world anymore.
You got an awful lot, just in reading in your preparation for the book here, an awful lot of anecdotal information. When you told people that you were considering doing something like this, a lot of folks said, hey, let me tell you, and they wanted to fill you with information about their experiences.
That's right. I think, you know, we all kind of remember a childhood where we did things, we were often, like, kicked out the back door in the morning, and our parents would say, you know, I don't want to see you till dinner time. And, you know, we would roam the hillsides or the alleyways, and that seems like some kind of golden past. And in reality, those things are all still safe to do.
There was a time, and I'm not going to get into the melancholy approach here, but, you know, back in the old days, but I can remember summer holidays, and you're absolutely right, from about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, we'd come home and have a sandwich sometime around lunchtime, but the rest of the time, we were just out doing things.
Yeah, that's a great way for kids to learn how to invent their own kinds of fun, to not always expect to be entertained. You know, sometimes I say that, you know, boredom is really the necessity of invention, or the mother of invention. It's really important for kids to kind of learn how to make their own fun, and to to learn to assess risk for themselves so that you can trust them to wander around all day without getting into trouble.
Yeah, and to get away from the, I could say, the melancholy approach to our childhoods, you raise a very interesting point that a number of child experts have talked about, is that in the absence of dangerous situations or adventurous situations, are we robbing our children of the ability to be able to handle those situations later in life?
Well, I really think so. I mean, it's not uncommon for me to meet young parents who didn't really own a knife until they graduated from college and got their first apartments, you know. And how safe is that person, and how are they going to be able to help their children have good knife safety skills? It's we're really sort of robbing the generation of the kinds of knowledge and skills that we took for granted. You know, somehow that's not safe enough for them. And really, that's a ridiculous notion, I think.
There's a long list of stuff here. We'll talk about some of these in just a couple of seconds. But and you mentioned the thing about knives, and I mean, again, you know, even something as simple as a jackknife that some people would say, well, that's a weapon, obviously, and you can't be carrying those things around. You're going to get kicked out of school, and we understand the concerns about things like that. But they're not necessarily used as weapons in a lot of kids' eyes. It's simply a place to whittle, or to carve, to do a number of different things. Again, it's kind of that Huck Finn approach, isn't it?
It is. You know, parents often ask me why they should let their kids own a pocket knife or a jackknife. And, you know, the thing is, if I approach a child and I say, oh, I'm going to teach you how to pay better attention in school and how to concentrate, I'm not even going to hold their attention for 30 seconds. But if I say, I'm going to teach you how to use a pocket knife safely and we're going to whittle, I'm going to have their undivided attention for 4 or 5 hours. So These activities are actually the context for those life skills they need anyway.
When you wrote the book, were you trying to be provocative?
I was. I mean, you know, when you make a book, you have to somehow catch people's attention and say, hey, I've got something important to say here. So a title like 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do does just that. It sort of challenges our assumptions. And I really wanted something that would get people to think about these activities and kind of really assess for themselves, why aren't they teaching their kids how to drive a nail? You know, these are important milestones in our personal histories.
Some of this, though, is born, isn't it, from the I guess you say reaction. Some would suggest overreaction to some of the things that have gone on. There's an interesting story that I know that you tell about a school that was actually raffling off primo parking spots in front of the school.
Yeah.
That's rather odd.
We have this idea that driving our kids to school in our private automobiles is actually safer than letting them take the bus or walk, whereas the insurance statistics show that they're orders of magnitude safer if you put them on public transit than if you put them in a private automobile. So it's not that we're doing a rational assessment of these risks. It's that we're participating in a kind of fear-based decision-making that's not actually helping the children be safer.
Yeah, the example we just referred to, and I guess the school board actually kind of perpetuates that by actually raffling that off. In other words, the parents bought chance tickets, as you would for a cake or something like that, and the prize was a parking spot closest to the front door so you didn't have to walk too far when you drove your kids to school.
Yeah.
Nobody ever mentioned the fact that maybe you could walk your kids to school and it would be just a lot more efficient for both you and them.
Well, a lot more efficient, certainly a lot greener. And actually, that process of walking to school every morning has been shown to connect kids better to their environment, to make them more aware of their surroundings, more able to kind of avoid danger, if you will, as they're walking. And actually to sort of lay the foundation for being one of these outdoor people who's just comfortable saying, oh, let's just walk 6 blocks over to the store.
I want to spend some time, if I could, talking about a couple of the things on your list here, because I find some of these very intriguing. Can you hang on for just a second?
Sure.
Let me do a short break, and then we'll come back and, okay. and we'll get into some of those things. The book, well, as he said, wanted to be provocative. It is provocative. The book is called 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do, and we'll talk about some of those dangerous things on that list when we come back. This is The Bill Keller Show on CHML and Cable 14.
Happiness, more or less, it's just a change in me, something in my liberty.
Margarita, let's talk about one of the great appetizers that starts off a super meal, and it's all Greek to me.
Well, Bob, Grecian shrimp, that's one of my favorites. Yeah. 7 plum tiger shrimps, pan-seared with garlic and extra virgin olive oil, rich tomato sauce, and a hint of hot peppers, snow-capped with feta cheese and served with baguette.
Grecian shrimp, just one of the many great appetizers you can enjoy tonight at half price. It's all Greek to me in Hamilton, 905-527-0003.
Does the cold weather leave you craving comfort food? We have all the comfort food that I just can't resist. And I'm sure you'll love our incredible selection too. Hi, it's Sherry from Carlick Orchards, inviting you to discover our delicious meat pies, homestyle bread, and apple pies. Our pantry is stocked with honey, maple syrup, and more. Carlick Orchards, just off the 403 at the Wilson Street exit in Ancaster. Look for the signs. We're open Tuesday to Saturday, 8 till 6, Sunday, 11 to 5.
So, Ed got the promotion. Looks like it's home sweet Halifax. How am I ever going to get organized?
My sister-in-law used Dorota's cleaning to move downtown. They listed and packed everything, and they even arranged for the moving truck.
What am I, a millionaire?
Actually, she said it was really affordable. You should call. I bet it all works out.
Stressed about the big move? Dorota's commercial and residential cleaning to the rescue. They'll pack and arrange your entire move. Call 905-388-8837 and stop stressing.
Two free Cineplex movie tickets? March Break Blast at the Delta Chelsea Hotel in downtown Toronto just got even better. From March 12th to 21st, enjoy daily and nightly activities in our Family Fun Zone, Kids Center, and Teen Lounge, including our four-story indoor corkscrew water slide. With our Kids Stay and Eat free programs, March Break Fun in downtown Toronto has never been more affordable. For your March Break Blast, including two free Cineplex movie tickets, call the Delta Chelsea at 1-800-CHELSEA or visit deltachelsea.com.
Yes! What wish could the ideal genie grant you?
I wish for incredible home and garden products and services, all under one roof. 3 football fields worth, with complete home renovation tips and free parking.
Sounds ideal.
And I want it in Hamilton.
I grant your wish.
The big one's here. The show Southwestern Ontario's been waiting for. The 2010 Ideal Home and Garden Show, presented by REMAX, March 5th to 7th at the new Careport Center in Hamilton. Tickets and show details at idealhomeandgarden.ca.
Yes! How can the ideal genie help you?
We need a garden makeover.
Actually, we need a complete home renovation.
Tell me about it. My magic lamp could use a remodeling. Like what you'll find at the Ideal Home and Garden Show. I grant your wish.
The big one's here. The show Southwestern Ontario's been waiting for. The 2010 Ideal Home and Garden Show, presented by REMAX, March 5th to 7th at the new Careport Center in Hamilton. Tickets and show details at idealhomeandgarden.ca.
Why yell at your TV when you can talk on your radio? Charles Adler, weekday afternoons 2 to 4 on AM 900 CHML. Hamilton's news talk leader.
Since 1960, the Morris Law Group has had a reputation of advocating and getting results for clients. 50 years of experience, 50 years of results. Call 905-526-8080.
Hey, you're still here? Thanks for coming back.
You are getting the best possible information.
And now, your reward? Here's your host, Bill Kelly. And he brought donuts on AM 900 CHML.
Welcome back. The book is called 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. Gabriel Tully is the author, and he's with us here on the Bill Kelly Show on CHML. Gabriel, I'm sure that this accusation has been leveled against you. People are going to look at this and say, you're asking kids here to be irresponsible and put themselves in harm's way. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would say that what we're really asking is for kids to be responsible, not irresponsible. That these topics in this book here create a real opportunity for parents and kids to have a open, ongoing discussion about how to assess risk and how to mitigate it, and that this is how you instill responsibility in children. You know, that these are the opportunities that kids take to show that they can be trusted, that they can be responsible.
Well, and as you've already alluded to, and I know that you talk about it in the book too, is if children are raised devoid of any crisis situations, they don't know how to handle, they don't learn how to handle crisis situations, which are invariably going to happen to them at some point.
Exactly. I mean, when do you take them out of the bubble wrap, you know, is kind of the question.
And you're not suggesting in the book here that they go and do something stupid.
No. No, in fact,
you're not saying, "Hey, let's go play road hockey out in the highway."
It's quite the opposite. And in fact, each one of the topics, it goes into some detail about how to look at where the possible dangers are coming from in each of the activities, and then the steps that you should take to reduce the danger while you're doing the activities. And you know, a great example of that is, if you're going to throw something from a moving vehicle, you know, it should be something biodegradable, like a grape, that still the experience is worth having, but let's make sure that we're not, you know, that nobody misunderstands. We're not suggesting somebody throw trash from a car. What we're really trying to do is give the kids an opportunity to experience air as the fluid that it is, and to really see the physical properties of air the way that an airplane wing experiences them.
Some of the other things here seem, like I say, they seem so commonsensical when you start looking at things like this. Making a rope swing, you know, that used to happen all the time, or tying a tire up over a tree branch or something like that. But I guess rather than exposing kids to situations like that and just saying, here are the dangers, so here's how to do it properly, are we too easily taking the path of least resistance and saying, well, don't do it at all then?
Well, I think that when the parents themselves aren't comfortable sort of evaluating and building a rope swing, it's hard for them to suggest or consider sending the kids out in the backyard with a piece of rope and saying, oh, yeah, go ahead and make a rope swing. Their immediate sort of reaction is to imagine the worst possible scenario that could happen. And, you know, it's easy because we have a lot of media coverage and a lot of movies to get some pretty gruesome images in our heads, when in point of fact, building a rope swing is a very kind of simple series of steps that help you evaluate the branch that you're tying to. We don't even ask you to tie a knot. We're just going to loop the rope over the branch, and then to evaluate the swing before you commit your weight to it. Those are just important life skills, I would say. You know, every situation is a unique combination of the people that are there, the circumstances, and the physical environment. And kids need a chance to kind of practice evaluating all of those things.
One of the things you talk about, which are... again, brought back an awful lot of memories. Something as simple as burning things with a magnifying glass. A lot of parents I know kind of, you know, kids, you can't do that sort of thing. That's a science experiment, really.
It really is. And what better way to get a sense of just how much power the sun is generating than to be able to focus that power and see the immediate effects of it? Every kid should get a magnifying glass and a pocket knife when they turn, you know, somewhere between 6 and 9, for sure. Yeah, I think those are essential tools of childhood.
Flying a homemade kite in a gale. We've got a park up behind our house. I see that happen. The windier the day, the better. But again, it's a science experiment. It teaches them about wind. It teaches them about, and again, it's not suggesting go out and do it in an electrical storm. Ben Franklin's already done that for us. But it's again, educating people, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, we have this tendency to take kids and sort of protect them from every perceived danger, and that includes not letting them run around outside during a perfectly safe, you know, windstorm or strong hail. I mean, strong rain. These are just These are just ways of instilling in kids a fear of the outdoors. So deliberately going out there and flying a kite when it's really windy, even though you know it's going to tear the kite apart, is just a really fun adventure for kids. You know?
You even talk about sleeping outdoors, and it doesn't necessarily mean going to a campground, but even just something in the backyard.
That's right. You know, kids have these ideas sometimes about what happens outside at night, and just having them sleep in the sleeping bag in the backyard is just a great way for them to recalibrate and see that, you know, nighttime is just like daytime, but there's no sunshine. That it's no more dangerous because it's dark than, I mean, other than the hazards of the fact that you can't see what you might stumble over. It's just a great way for kids to kind of to relax a little bit about their fear of the dark, you know. And of course, you're not going to throw them into the deep end of the pool. If your child really is afraid of the dark, you know, maybe the first night you sleep out there with them, mm-hmm. or you know, the first time you try it, you do that, and then a year later, they develop the urge to try it on their own.
What kind of feedback are you getting about the book?
Well, I'm getting overwhelmingly positive feedback, I'm glad to say. You know, for every 100 pieces of email I get about the book, you know, maybe I'll get one or two where a parent is saying, oh, you know, you've gone a little too far with topic X, you know. And the interesting thing about that is that no two parents can seem to agree on which is the dangerous topic in this book, because our own upbringing and our own culture, you know, giving a kid a pocket knife might be the worst thing you can imagine for a kid in a city, whereas kids in the country who are being raised at country schools aren't getting magnifying glasses because of the risk of fire danger.
Yeah, exactly. It's a thought-provoking book and a fascinating read. It's called 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do. Gaver, thank you so much for the time, and continue good luck with this.
Hey, thank you so much. And they can just head over to 50dangerousthings.com and get all the information.
Fabulous. And I'm sure that's available in bookstores here, too. I've got one right across the road from our house. I'll check it out. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Take care. Gaber Tully, 50 Dangerous Things from California. Interesting book. Interesting fellow, too.